Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Randy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
When did you first start playing guitar?
I was 13, 14 years old, and I just picked up my sister's acoustic guitar she had lying around the house, and I just started making some noise with that.
What was it about the guitar that you were attracted to?
Well, I found the guitar particularly attractive because within maybe 5 or 6 months of playing it, I was able to start really making music and feeling good about the instrument. I had been playing trumpet for a few years before that, starting in fourth grade like most kids do, and, you know, that was just a real struggle. It never really came to me, but guitar, I just felt a real instant affinity and just really dug it.
Who were your main influences?
Well, some of my earliest influences were bands like the Allman Brothers and Jethro Tull, rock bands like that were popular in the early 70s when I first started playing. I also really liked folk music. Bob Dylan was probably my first bona fide musical hero. And by the time I was a senior in high school, I had moved into things like Yes, Genesis, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the progressive rock of the day, which had some real nice intricacies.
Your album, Secrets of Three, is one of my favorite recordings that you've ever released. Now, of note is the beautiful tune Natasha, with its gorgeous bass intro and the melody, which at times reminds me of On Broadway. Now, your playing is subtle, yet inviting. Now, what is this piece about?
Well, this piece is really about getting the trio format to speak with a voice that's larger than just the three individual instruments. And what I mean by that is we want to get it where we have these improv sections where it's really open, almost on a vamp type of feel, but then have that punctuated with really orchestrated sections where everybody's playing tight unison lines and with really, really tight rhythms. And that gives the trio format more interest. So that theme is something that shows up in a lot of other tunes that I've written also for the trio. For example, on my new CD, Holding the Center, there's one of the feature songs there is called Sister Cuba. And I think there's a lot of similarities, actually, between Sister Cuba and Natasha, just because we're doing that same sort of thing. There's a very simple kind of blowing section, but then there's all these intricate unison lines.
Tell us a little bit about your trio. When did you first meet them?
The trio has been together for about 6 years now. I've been really lucky to find some great players up here who I have just a wonderful chemistry with and really enjoy working with. Jim Lydon's been playing bass with me now for the entire time. And Mark McSood was the drummer on the first couple of projects, and Les Harris Jr. has been playing drums with the trio for the last 3 years.
One thing that has always amazed me about your trio is how balanced the sound is. You tend to work as one, which is the way it should be. Actually, if you remember the classic Bill Evans trio, there's a fine example. Now, how important is it to achieve this kind of balance?
Well, that balance thing, that's really the chemistry I'm talking about, where we can play together and be continuously interactive and just intensely listening to each other. That's what makes the music sound like more than just playing the song. And it keeps it exciting for us because it's really different every time we play it. We really play off the cues that each one is throwing out there, and it's about listening.
Mark, what kind of guitar do you play?
My current instrument of choice is a Paul Reed Smith, and it's a hollow body model. I've got it set up with flat wound strings, pretty heavy gauge, and that's been with me now for the last couple of CDs. I've also played bourgeois, large body, carved guitars. And also on Sister Cuba, you'll hear the intro is with a Cuban-made nylon string guitar. This Cuban guitar I'm talking about is really pretty old and beat up, but it's a real delight to play, and it's got so much soul built in.
Let's talk a little about your new release. It's entitled Holding the Center. Now, Intro to Sister, Cuba, is a wonderful example of clean execution when it comes to fingerpicking. Each note is clearly defined. In fact, it reminds me of the late Nick Drake, the guitarist from England. His way of playing was so clean and articulate, you could hear and almost actually see his fingers caressing each string.
Well, you know, fingerpicking really is a whole subgenre of guitar playing in of itself. And you know, there's guys like, you know, Nick who are just masters. But for me, it's a texture. It's one of many kind of sounds I go for. I've never really specialized in just that. And that's really the only place on the album using fingerpicking. Most of my work is flat picking. But like anything, you've got to spend enough time working with a particular technique till it becomes second nature. And then, you know, it may sound, like every note is clear and distinct, but believe me, it wasn't always that way.
Holding the Center contains all original material. Now, was there any thought of including covers?
Well, I really love playing standards, actually, but and we do that in my live shows quite a bit, but composing is really a very important part of who I am as a musician, so the recordings really are there to showcase that as much as the playing.
How long did it take you to record Holding the Center?
Holding the Center was recorded in 2 days of studio time.
Do you do any teaching?
I do a little bit of teaching. I have a couple of private students, and I've also taught at the University of Southern Maine several years ago as an adjunct faculty, but at this point in time, I don't really have too much time for that.
There are some performers who practice and others who just love to play, and they just let it all happen. Do you have a tendency to practice a lot, Mark?
I tend to play guitar probably 1 to maybe 3 hours a day on average. I don't really call it practicing very much. I tend to think of it more as playing music. Clearly, when we have a gig coming up, the group will rehearse and we go through all the mechanics of the songs and make sure we've got everything under our fingers and know the arrangements. So I don't mean to say that it just happens by itself, but the type of practicing I did when I was back studying music in college, that's not something I spend a whole lot of time with these days.
Tell us a little about the Maine Jazz Alliance. What is this organization all about?
Oh, the Maine Jazz Alliance is a local nonprofit organization based here in the southern part of Maine that's got a mission of promoting jazz in this community, and it's done a lot of concerts and outreach programs to make jazz accessible to people and support the whole scene. I'm kind of out of it right now. I was the president for 3 years and really enjoyed my time there, but I've been off the board now for a year, and I'm happy to see the organization continuing and growing while I've moved on myself to other things.
Now, you made some exciting recordings with Tiger Okoshi and Bobby Watson. Now, how did these recordings come to fruition?
Oh, those were a lot of fun working on those recordings. They're both great musicians, and it was really neat to take the trio and use that as a backdrop for what those guys bring to the table. As far as how it came about, it's just a matter of picking up the phone or an email and getting in touch with those guys and starting up a dialogue about what I wanted to do compositionally and seeing if they'd be interested, and they're very gracious and receptive to coming up to Maine and working with us.
Bobby is such a seasoned and may I say underrated performer. Has any of his musical ideas rubbed off on your style of playing?
I would say Bobby's, the parts of Bobby's playing that have rubbed off on me are things that I was already very receptive to. And there's two main things. One is keeping the music very melodic and always thinking in terms of a singing melody that not only runs through the compositions, but runs through all the improvisations. The second thing is what I've always felt to be the uplifting quality of music, this kind of optimistic vibe that's infused in his playing. And that's something that I feel within my own playing, and we really were able to connect on that level. And that's when, you know, it's rubbed off in the sense that that it only reinforced those things within myself.
What was the main thing that you learned from Ted Dunbar, and how long did you study with him?
Well, this was back in the 70s, studying with Ted at Rutgers University, and I think the most important thing that he said to me was always be hungry. And what he meant by that was always be looking to learn new things, always keep your ears open, always be willing to work, always be willing to go after what you want, always be hungry. And those were just words to live by as a musician. You never get to the end of this road. There's always something else to learn, something else to hear, something else to express, and that's the best part of it.
Are there any musicians who you would love to perform with or make a recording with?
Oh, sure. There's tons of musicians, and you know, and not just jazz musicians. I'd love to do something with Carlos Santana and just have dueling PRS guitars. In the jazz world, there's some wonderful horn players on the scene today, like Chris Potter and Robin Eubanks and Jerry Berganzi. Dave Liebman is somebody I'd love to work with. And if there's enough time and days in the week to do all of that, I'm hoping I will.
Now, I'm going to give you some names, Mark, and I want you to discuss the first thing that comes to mind. Let's start off with guitarist Mark Elf. And what about the great Barney Kessel? You know, Pat Metheny's been around for many years and influenced so many musicians. And, of course, the inimitable Jim Hall. And what about the great Wes Montgomery?
Well, when I hear five names of guitarists, all masters, like these five guys, and, of course, you could add five more and five more and five more to that, the thing that comes to mind is that guitar is a wonderful vehicle of self-expression, and there's individuality within each of those gentlemen that just shines through in their music. They each have their own voice. They each approach the instrument very differently and make beautiful music with it. I think that one of the greatest things about the guitar as an instrument is just the wide diversity of sounds that can be produced. The warmth of Wes's thumb, the lyricism of Pat Metheny, just Jim Hall's sense of space, Barney Kessel's driving swing, Mark Elf's got a really great relentless sense of bop phrasing. It's there's everybody's got something to say and bring to the table, and it's a great instrument. I love it.
Do you come from a musical family?
Yeah, on my father's side, there's been a lot of musicians. My father is a wonderful accordion player, and when I was growing up, he'd always be playing tangos. That was really his big thing, was to play tangos. And this very intense stare as he was playing it, and I'll always remember that. My grandfather was a concert violinist in Poland. From what I'm told, there's some uncles and aunts on that side of the family too that play primarily classical musicians.
Do you remember the first jazz concert that you attended?
I'm not sure if I remember the first concert. I know my earliest listening to jazz started out just listening to records, and I had come from a more of a rock background, as I mentioned earlier. And it was really in college when I got turned on to groups like Chick Corea, Return to Forever, the Mahavishnu Orchestra, Weather Report, and stuff like that. And right around that time, I started going to jazz concerts that they had on campus at Rutgers, faculty concerts, which were fabulous. And they'd bring in all these very heavy guest artists. The faculty, well, in addition to Ted Dunbar, we had Kenny Barron and Frank Foster. And but we had like Dexter Gordon coming in to do clinics, and Barry Harris and Buster Williams and Billy Cobham, it was just a time when there was a lot of great players just coming right through.
Are there any other forms of music that you listen to?
Most of my listening really is jazz. I like listening to some of the pop music of the day.
The composition entitled Holiday is a relentless piece of music. You know, this is a showcase of your incredible dexterity and drive. Tell us what Holiday is all about.
So the thing with the Holiday is sometimes you go thinking you're going to get away from it all and just kick back, but you're winding up having to catch a plane and seeing all the sights and just, you know, just going from event to event, and it winds up being very hectic. I sometimes come back from a holiday vacation feeling like I need to actually have another vacation to recover from the vacation.
Amphora seems to be a departure of sorts for you, in that you've extended the trio. Now, were you after a wider variety of musical shadings and colors?
Amphora, being my first recording, was building some extensions of the trio by bringing in other musicians like Anna-Grete Baer to play percussion or Tom Snow on piano. It's an interesting thing dealing with a trio to have that sound be big enough and have the textures have enough variety so that it's always engaging to listen to. As a contrast with my new project, Holding the Center, I've tried to accomplish the same thing, but in a different way, by using some sample loops and by using some effects on the guitar, some synthesizer type of pads and things that I all play in real time. And instead of having a fourth and fifth member of the group join in to increase our sound, I'm using these other devices. But the common thread there is I'm always looking to make the trio sound bigger than three guys playing.
Are there any other projects that you currently have on the go?
Yes, there is a new project in the works that I'm going to be co-writing with my wife, Erica Aberg. The focus on this is to have a romantic feel throughout, and there may be a lot of ballads, but I think also it's going to be very sweet music that may not even be necessarily jazz. I'm going to be delving deeper into the use of guitar-triggered MIDI synthesizer stuff, and it's not going to be a smooth jazz album, so don't get worried. It's gonna stay true to improvised music. But I think I'm really looking forward to working with some different sounds and lyrics.
Thank you so much for dropping by today, Mark.
Randy, thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be on your show and to get to talk about my music and the recordings. I hope folks will visit my website. It's www.markkleinhout.com. And I hope we all meet again. Thank you.